Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter number 18. And this is a beginning of a parable that the Lord gives concerning the continual prayer of an individual, and even an unrighteous judge finally give the answer to the prayer that was wanted because they continually prayed. Verse number 1 of chapter 18 says, "And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Now, if we were to read the rest of that parable, it only goes down through verse number 8, we'll find that there was a judge that did not fear God. He didn't have any fear of God. Didn't have any fear of man, sort of like some judges we hear about today. They don't fear God or anything else. And feels like that they can do what they want to do. And a widow came and continually knocked at his door, continually came. And he says there in verse number 4, "Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith." And so the Lord starts the parable out that men ought to always to pray and not faint. Now we know what a parable is. It's a story. It's an illustration. It's a earthly story. I've always heard this, and I'm sure you have. A parable is an earthly story, but it has a heavenly meaning. It's a story. It's an illustrative story of giving facts. But yet it has another meaning also. And so he gives this parable, and he says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're just going to sort of look at that little thought tonight, here in the middle of the week, and how important prayer is to us. We come here on Wednesday night, we call it prayer meeting, and so there's times I think we need to really think about what prayer is, what prayer does for us, and what we can do for others with prayer. And so the Lord tells these that He's speaking to, He said there's a meaning to praying and how that we ought to pray always. And there's an earthly meaning to this, a heavenly meaning to this, that we should always ought to pray and then not to faint. So Jesus gives us some great instructions about prayer. The Bible is full of people that prayed and got their prayers answered. The Bible's full of people that prayed and their prayers were put off. But the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is a prayer book. It is a book that is that contains multitudes of people that have called upon the Lord in times of distress, in times of sorrow, in times of need, and then even in times of joy, we are to call upon the Lord. And so tonight I just want us to think about the duty of praying. And that really the first thing we want to deal with is this duty of praying. And as the Lord starts this parable out, and He's talking about a judge that was unjust, a judge that didn't have any regard for God, didn't have any regard for man. He just made his own rules, regulations. He did as he wanted to do. And this widow continually came at him. And so, because he, and he even makes, "Though I fear not God," he said, "I'm going to give her what she wants. Because she troubleth me." That means she was continually coming at his door. She was continually knocking, continually requesting and asking that he would avenge her. And he said, "I'll finally do that, lest she weary me." And so the Lord says, "Hear what the unjust judge," and recognize what those things mean. Men ought always to pray. Prayer is not an option. Sometimes we think it's an option, and we think it might be optional that we can or cannot. And of course, God doesn't make us pray, but God tells us to pray. And there's things that we should do because He tells us. Prayer is not an option. It's not a suggestion, but it's a duty for every believer, for every Christian. It is our God-given duty that we pray and seek His face, call upon Him for our needs and for our sorrows and the things of life that come. And if we do not pray, then we are just strictly disobeying the Lord. And it says, if it's not optional, then we have to do it. He doesn't twist our arm, but He certainly wants us to pray. And we do not have the option to say no to the Lord, because He tells us that there are needs that can be met, there are problems that can be fixed, there are struggles that can be helped because we call upon His name. The Bible says here, men, the word ought. That's an interesting word. Men ought to always pray. That just simply means it's necessary. It's needful. And sometimes it even means we shouldn't even have to be told to do that. I believe as a Christian we ought to call upon the Lord regardless. We shouldn't have to have a lot of instruction. When He tells us that we should pray, then we should pray. And this past week I was there at Temple Baptist there in Knoxville, or just outside of Knoxville, and there's a fellow there preaching. I forget, it was the first night I was there. And he was from Australia, and he was a different type preacher, had a different style, and it took me a minute to get with him. But man, he had some good stuff. Brother, did you listen to that? And he had some great stuff just on that word ought. And I thought, my goodness, and it was just a little portion of his message. And turn back with me, if you would, just for a moment, to the book of Matthew chapter 25. And this is the passage that he used, and I'm just going to very quickly give you a few things of what he said. But it blessed my heart to listen and to realize the things here that are said here in this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter number 25. We begin in verse number 14. It talks about the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. And so here we have the kingdom of heaven. This is part of the Olivet Discourse, and he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." So here's this man. He's the goodman of the house. He's comparing now to the kingdom of heaven. The man had servants. He gave to one servant those talents, those 5 talents. He gave to another servant 2 talents, and then he gave to one servant 1 talent. And you notice here he said that he gave them according to their several ability. Or as they had ability, God gave them what they could deal with and what they could handle. You see, God never gives us more than we can take care of. God never gives us more than we can deal with and can handle in our life. And He even tells us in the Scripture that He'll never put upon us more than we can bear. And so He's there to help us. And so here's this master that has servants, and he calls his servants and said, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to give you 5 talents, and I'm going to give you 2 talents, and that's a portion of money of that day, and then I'm going to give to you 1 talent. And then he goes on with the story. It says in verse 16, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so that he had received 5 talents, came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said to him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." You'll notice here this servant now has moved from being a servant to being a lord just because of his faithfulness. He moves up the social ladder, I guess we could call it. His master said, "Because you've been faithful, you've done all these things, I'm going to make you ruler now over many, many things." And so he's moved from servitude until he's a ruler. And then verse number 21, the Lord said to him, "Well done." Then verse number 22, "He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good, faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou unto the joy of the Lord. Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gathereth where I have not strawed. Now notice verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, or that word usury means interest. He tells him here, thou oughtest. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. There are some things that we just ought to do. The preacher the other night, he gave a tremendous message on that. And he says, well, a lot of people say that the Lord didn't tell him to do that. The Lord didn't tell him to go and exchange his money. God didn't command him to do that. And he said, but the key to it is that the Lord said, thou oughtest. You know, there are some things that we should do just because of who the Lord is. There are some things that we should do just because that He has saved us. We should not have to have written in ink on paper certain things, how to serve the Lord. Certain things that we should do for the Lord just because of what He has done for us. And the Lord told that man, told that man that had the one talent, He said, thou oughtest to have put my money to the exchangers. Another thing that he showed about this man that I thought was really, really good, you'll notice in verse number 22, verse number 20 first, the man that received five talents, he said, Lord, thou deliverest. Lord, thou. He was interested in the Lord. In verse number 22, the one that received two talents, he also received two talents, came and said, Lord, thou. And there again is putting all recognition to the Lord. Now notice verse 24. He that had received one talent came and said, Lord, I. There's a difference there. Lord, I knew you as a hard master. And the other two said, Lord, thou deliverest unto us these things. And we've doubled them. You know, and percentage-wise, the man had two talents did just as much as the man had five. They both doubled. And God gave the man five talents because God knew he could handle five talents. God knew he could handle that sum of money. God gave that other man two because he knew he could handle it. He gave it according to his ability. That's what the Scripture says. And he gave this man one talent. That didn't mean he was further down the road. Doesn't mean he was less. And God knew his ability, so he should have been able also to double what God gave him. And the Lord told him, thou oughtest to have done that. Not because I command. He didn't command those other men to do that. He didn't tell them to go out and do the work and double the talents. And he didn't make them do that. They did that because of their recognition and their compassion, their love to their master. And they did the work, and the Lord recognized that. And He said, now I'm going to move you from servitude to make you a ruler over these things. But that one man that just did nothing, just hid it in the ground, he said, thou oughtest, you should have known better. And so this is sort of like the same passage here in Luke 18, where the Scripture says that men ought, there's that word, men ought always to pray. We ought to do it. We should do it just because of what the Lord has done for us. How many times that we could sit down tonight and how many things we could write down on a piece of paper of the blessings of the Lord. Of how God has increased us, how God has helped us, how God has given us strength, God has given us health, He has given us all these good things, and thou ought to pray. Not because He tells us we have to, but we should do that because of His goodness to us and His grace that's been given to us. And so here, this is our duty, that we are praying to the Lord. The word ought there, as I said, it means a needful thing. It's necessary for the child of God. Not only do we disobey God when we do not pray, but we disable ourselves. We make us not able to do maybe what God would have us to do. Prayer is so very important to the life of the child of God. And it's one of the things that we struggle with more than anything else. The Scripture says, and I believe one of the reasons He puts here, and not faint, is because we all faint. And we'll look at that in a moment. But we find we have so many struggles. We have so many difficulties. But when we do not pray, we disobey God and we disable ourselves and the ability that God would have for us. And so we pray because we should pray. Not necessarily because God has commanded us, and He has done that, but we should pray just simply because of what God has blessed us with and the goodness of God for us. The courts of our land are revealing their iniquity in their hearts. Now they're saying that there are certain places that we cannot pray. How stupid that is. How unworthy an individual is, and how ungodly that is, that forbids us to pray in certain places in society. It doesn't. Prayer is not needed in that part of society. I'll tell you what, prayer is needed in every part of our society. It's needed everywhere. Prayer is not needed in our schools, and since they've took it out, buddy, we've got a lot of problems in our schools. Prayer is not needed on the courthouse square because that's a separation of church and state. That's the biggest farce that's ever been given, the biggest lie that's ever been given to our country, the separation of church and state, and separating us from God. The amendment that was part of our first 10 amendments, it's there to keep the state from coming on to us, not us from being apart from them. But the devil knows how to twist it. He knows how to turn it. And so now the courts are telling us that we can pray in certain places. And I'll tell you what they would love for us to do. They'd love for us to stay within the four walls of this building, and we do all of our praying, all of our singing, all of our preaching. When we go out there, we keep our mouths shut and we don't want to disturb anybody. That's what they really want. Well, the problem is God said go into all the world and preach the gospel. So there's a crossing there. There's a problem. And so they have forbidden us to pray in certain places, and they don't seem to realize they're disabling this country. Just tearing down, destroying the ability, cutting off really the one that helps us, and our courts and our land, they're the problem, they're not the remedy. And so the Lord tells us here, men ought always to pray. So there's the duty of praying. The second thing is the dedication of it. Little word, always. We should always pray. The statement here says that we should be dedicated to it. It does not mean that we are to pray every minute of every day. That's not the meaning of the Scripture here. That's not even practical. We're not running around all day with our heads bowed, eyes closed. If we did, we'd run into things. And you can't do it when you're driving. But He tells us well to always pray. And so it tells us that what it does mean is to be faithful in our regular prayer life. Men ought always to pray. We ought to have a time that we personally pray. We ought to have a time that we personally get alone with God and honor the Lord and with the things of our heart and our lives. And it also means that we ought to be in the spirit of prayer continually. We ought to have to get a whole lot of things fixed before we can call upon the Lord. We ought to get a whole lot of things taken care of and forgiven before we can get a hold of God, because sometimes we need to get a hold of God right now, immediately. And so we need to be in the attitude and the spirit of prayer continually. And that's the dedication of prayer, that we ought always to pray. Always be able to pray. I believe we should pray about everything. I believe we ought to pray about everything, every decision we make, no matter how trivial we might think it is or how simple we might think it is. Boy, the devil will take those trivial things and simple things and turn around on us and give us problems from those. We ought to pray the Lord and ask God to help us and to realize that if we do not do that, then we're in disobedience to Him. We lack so many times dedication in our prayer life. I raise my hand, first one in the building. I sometimes lack dedication to my prayer life. And that's the lifeline between me and God. That's the lifeline between you and God. The only way you get a hold of the Lord is through prayer. And the way God gets hold of us is through the Word of God. And so He's given us every avenue, He's given us every way that we can have communication between us and our Lord. He is the Lord. He's the Master. And He has given us ability. He's given us talent. He's given us things that we are able to do, like we read in that other passage there in Matthew. And He's telling us that He's done these things for us. And so therefore, we should be busy serving Him, be busy honoring Him. And to do that, we have to be on our hearts and our faces before God and praying. We too many times lack dedication in our praying. We may not know how to pray right, but we need to be praying, because the Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit can even take the groanings of our soul that we cannot utter and we cannot put into words. And that word groaning is a word of turmoil of heart. You know, sometimes things just can't be put into words, and I'm glad the Holy Spirit translates that to God, and we're He knows even the groanings of our soul. He knows even the heart of man. But if we stop our dedication in prayer, then we stop our blessings from the Lord. If we hide it hide what we have in the field and just leave it there and say, "Oh, I'm afraid of God." That one servant, he said, "I know you're a tough master." And so I was afraid I'd lose it. I didn't do anything with it. But here it is. He didn't have anything to offer the Lord. He just gave back what he had. And thank God we can do something, and we should be dedicated to our prayer life and to our prayer. We have a duty to pray. Men ought always to pray. That's our duty. That's our obligation that we have unto the Lord. And then our dedication is that we just pray always. Have a spirit and attitude and heart of asking the Lord's help and asking God's direction, asking God's way of life, how we to make decisions. And if you haven't had to make decisions yet that need prayer, you will somewhere down the line, because they're there. And so we need to be in the attitude and the heart of prayer, and have dedicated heart of prayer, so that we can go to the Lord and say, "God, I need your help. And Lord, I've got to have your direction. I've got to have your answer. It's not any good for family. It's not any good for friends. I need you to tell me what I need to do." And God can do that, because He knows what we need to do. And so we ought to always have the dedication of our prayer life. And it means that we are to be in the spirit of prayer continually. We ought to pray about everything. And sometimes the truth is that we sometimes seldom pray about anything. And there's the problem that we have. But we have a duty. We have a dedication. But notice thirdly the possibility of the discontinuing in prayer. Prayer can cease. It can stop. He says here, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, if it wasn't possible to faint, I don't believe the Lord would put that in there. So there is a possibility that we discontinue, or that we faint, or we stop our prayer life. Now, I'll tell you what. Real praying is not easy. It is not. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." It's harder than that. Prayer is not, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's the pattern of prayer, but that's not prayer. And so we need to understand that there is a possibility that we would cease our prayer life, and prayer is not easy, and so it's easy to stop praying. I don't know of anybody anywhere that enjoys doing hard things. We like easy things. We like things to be easy. Kids here at school like tests to be easy. They don't like them hard. We personally, all of us, we'd rather take the easy road than the hard road. We'd rather take the smooth path as the uphill path. And so there's possibilities, there's problems, and praying certainly is not easy, but God expects us to pray without fainting. He expects us to pray without stopping. Even one place He says, pray without ceasing. Fainting occurs when we become weary. Personally, in a physical sense, when a person faints, it's because they're weary of what they're doing. Their body is weary, or something has gone wrong. I was at the dentist office yesterday, and I heard a lady talking about one of the workers there in the office. Somebody asked where she was, and they said, "Oh, she had an accident. Didn't you not know that?" And they hadn't heard it. It said she and her husband were out. I think it was Sunday afternoon. They was out on a motorcycle. And she told her husband, said, "You need to slow down. I don't feel right." And he goes down to about 40, and she passes out, faints, and falls off the motorcycle. She fainted. Something had wearied her body. She was no longer sensible of where she was. She was no longer, as far as she was concerned, she wasn't present there. She was out of it. And so the Lord tells us, don't get in that position of fainting. Don't be weary in well-doing, the Scripture says. And if we'll not do that, we'll not faint. So fainting occurs when we become weary of something. And fainting is an ever-present problem for prayer. How many times you say, "Well, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to pray." How many times you have a time of prayer, and the phone will ring, somebody will knock on the door, or if you're in bed before you go to sleep, you fall asleep. Prayer is a difficult task. And we need to realize that if we're not careful, it's an ever-present problem for the child of God, and we will faint. We often quit praying almost before we get started. Almost before we really get into some details with the Lord, then something has come up or something's happened and our prayer life or something is, and we don't do it. Well, I'll do it later, and later I'll do it later. And something else comes. And before long, it's 10 o'clock at night, we're wore out, and I say, "Now I'll say my bedtime prayers." And before we say amen, we're saying good night. And it's over. And so we become weary with physical things, and we will faint before we get finished. Many things will cause us to faint. Many things will detour our prayer life. One thing will be defilement from sin. And when we're in the midst of problems with our life between us and God, we really don't want to talk to Him because we really know what He's going to say. We just don't want to hear it, so we don't pray. We don't ask God. We don't have the Lord. And so we're defiled from sin. Then sometimes we say, "Ain't no reason to pray about this. It's not going to happen anyway." Have you ever said that? Have you ever prayed that way? "Lord, I know You're not going to do it anyway." Well, you're probably right. There's no faith there. And the Lord probably won't do it anyway. And so doubt, not only defilement, but sometimes doubt will cause us to faint and not get our prayers answered, not even get our prayers accomplished because we doubt that it will ever happen. I thank the Lord for people that can stand and say, "I've prayed this for year after year after year, and God finally answered my prayer." Thank God He answers prayer. Now God answers in His own time, His own way. And sometimes we get anxious, sometimes we get discouraged, and then we faint. We just say, "There's no use. There's no sense." How many times people say, "Oh, there's no use praying for that fella. He's every preacher in the country has gone by and seen him." That used to be said about Kurt Lowe, just down the road. I mean, every time we have a revival, I mean, we go see Kurt Lowe. And sometimes the evangelist would go three or four times. Sometimes people do it and just continue. But thank God one day he came down the aisle, he got saved right here. Continual, persistent, not giving up. So we can be defiled, we can doubt. There's so many distractions, we've talked about that. There's so many things that cause us to quit praying. But I'll tell you what, fainting will kill results. God wants us to be victorious. God wants us to have advancement in our personal life with Him. And if we faint, then the results will not be there. Fainting causes us to lose interest in our request. We just say, "Well, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't." Well, I'm glad, thank God, Elijah did not faint. He prayed and he prayed and he said, and God said, "Okay, it's not going to rain." So Elijah prayed sometime later, and it rained. So God gave Elijah the answer to his prayer because he was faithful. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the example of that is the man Elijah. And so God tells us here, just in this one little introduction to this parable, men ought to always pray and faint not. This lady, this widow woman that came in that city, she came to that judge saying, "Avenge me of my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, you know what? She didn't give up. She didn't faint. She didn't quit. And because she troubled him, and he said, I'll avenge her. Because she kept content. Because she's bothering me. She's troubling me. She's always here asking the same thing. She's always, and I'm going to get her out of my hair. I'm going to get her out of my face. And I'm just going to do what she asked me to do. And God says men ought to always pray. Now, I don't believe we bother God. I don't believe we trouble God. But I believe He wants us to be, I believe He wants us to know that we're really interested in what we're asking about. That we really desire His answer. So here in this one little verse that opens up the introduction to this parable concerning persistence in prayer tells us that men ought always to pray. And then he puts that little ending on it, and not to faint. So that means we can faint. That means the possibility of giving up. That means we can lose it. That means we can no longer be interested in our prayer time. We can no longer be interested in our neighbor. We can no longer be interested in our country. We can no longer be interested in things of spiritual nature. We can just forget it all and bury our talent in the ground. And God will say, you're a wicked servant. And so these things are given that as a child of God, as a Christian, we ought always to pray. May we be encouraged in our prayer life. May we see the blessings and how good it is when somebody says, I've got an answer to prayer. God's good. Kathy said tonight she got praise. You know what that was? As an answer to prayer. That things went well with Morgan. And others have give prayer requests for different things, and some very serious. And so we ought always to pray and be persistent at it. Because God answers according to His time, His way, His will, and He'll take care of us. Men ought always to pray. Do it just because we should. Not because we've been told to, just because we should. Thou oughtest to have done this with my treasury. All right, let's stand together tonight. And